the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show with Blake Matheson and Eric Updike, covering hunting, fishing, and all things outdoors in eastern Montana and western North Dakota.
Yeah, great outdoors.
We'll bring on guests occasionally.
We're ready to learn to get some knowledge.
You can find episodes every other Friday on RadioBaker.com underneath podcasts. The Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show.
Check it out!
Welcome in the whole episode. Well, do you know, we haven't even talked about this yet. Do you know what episode
35.
Atta guy. I didn't even need to look. Just studied right on up here for the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Blake Matheson, along with
Eric Updike.
And we're sponsored by Dakota Rifle Company. They're found in Dickinson and online at DakotaRifle.co. And boy, I'm excited, my friend. Bird season coming right upon us here.
Yep, right around the corner. I'm getting anxious for it. I've been getting the looking at the shotguns, trying to decide which one I'm going to use this year.
I just had mine out last night. I remembered that I still had the turkey choke in it, so yep. I figured I better remedy that while I was thinking about it. And boy, did that get the old Jeb worked up. He was standing there immediately when I opened that gun safe door, and he was like, "Oh, it's on. It's we're going." And I was like, "Sorry, bud, just changing out a choke."
Oh, for sure. It's a good time to start getting the dog warmed back up for the year and get out and do a little trap shooting, kind of get yourself warmed back up and on target anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of the warm, it sucks that today was so hot because we're recording this on, what is today, Wednesday? I'm getting all messed up this week. We're recording this on a Wednesday this week to come out this Friday, and 105 degrees I saw hit on the old dial today. So not the type of day, like if today would have been the season opener, wouldn't have been going out.
No, that's for sure. You'd have been sweating like you in Sunday school.
Yeah, for sure. And so hopefully these cool temperatures going into a cool down this week, and hopefully that stays true for the first week of bird season, or the first part of bird season at least, because it's just a bummer when it's those like super high 90, 100 degree temperatures and you can't get the dog out or nothing.
Yeah, but you know that last year when we went out on the opener, it was in the 90s. It was pretty toasty.
Yeah, that was a short day, and yeah, that's just how they have to be. Lots of water and a short hunt on those days if you go. But speaking of getting your trap shooting going, might as well get that one, get a little shopkeeping out of the way right away here. Got a Pheasants Forever trap shoot coming up here in Baker at the old Fallon County shooting range. I almost said fairgrounds, but shooting range. So it's a membership drive for the, I'm going to still call it brand spanking new, Great Plains Forever chapter here, which covers Fallon County, Carter County, and Weibo County. If you're from any of those counties, you're more than welcome to come and sign up for membership as our Pheasants Forever chapter looks to grow here.
Yep, for sure. And if you don't want to sign up or if you don't want to shoot trap, at least come out and have lunch. We're going to have a free will lunch.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, probably. Do you know what it's going to be yet?
No, I'm not 100% yet. We'll figure that out at our next meeting, I bet you.
It'll be solid. It's not like somebody's going to go out there and serve you bad food.
No, so. It's not going to be bologna sandwiches.
You know, I've really been into the adult Lunchables lately. Usually it's just a hunting and fishing snack for me where you take Ritz crackers and a summer sausage, maybe a little cheese and put them together in a little stack there. That's my go-to lunch lately. But it'll be at least be that.
Yeah, for sure.
That'll be at the very base level. So yeah, again, oh shoot, I got your phone shut off. What day is our shoot again? Okay, so our day for that you're looking for at the old Trap Club, September 13th, and the shoot's starting at noon. So right at lunchtime, and it's $35 for those interested in shooting. That'll get you your targets to shoot at, and it'll help the Great Plains Pheasants Forever chapter. And then you can talk to the old Presidente out there. Henry Hastig probably going to be out mulling around, see what he's all about, and maybe he'll get you talked into signing up and becoming a member.
Yep, and if you do sign up, you'll be entered for a chance to win a really nice Pheasants Forever Yeti cooler.
Oh, that's something I do not own. I've got all real cheap coolers at my house. A Yeti would be right uptown.
You know, I almost feel bad for recruiting all these guys before the actual membership drive, because now they're not going to be able to enter in for that cooler, but you could extend your membership for a year.
Oh, already? Yeah, I don't know if I'm good for another year yet. I got to check the books at home.
All right.
But yeah, I was one of those guys that jumped. That's what I get, jumping the gun, man. I'm
proud of you.
Sometimes but, being that early bird doesn't get you the worm, turns out.
But you know what? It showed your commitment. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thanks. Second, I'm just the second mice are getting the cheese on this one.
I guess.
But, you know, I'm excited, though, because I feel like we were kind of, in regards to the Pheasants Forever stuff, we were talking about projects, and, you know, the first thing that popped up in regards to local projects to start working on was work out at South Sandstone Reservoir, getting some bird habitat increased in that area, if you will. And, you know, it was nice today to get out with Henry and Justin Hughes. He's the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Region 7 Habitat Specialist. Kind of focuses on bird habitat is what I gleaned from talking to him today. But, yeah, we met out there at South Sandstone, and it was just nice to have kind of a picture as to where we could be headed for hands-on projects with Pheasants Forever.
And that'll be good. Get our feet off the ground, get a good project going where people will see, hey, they are doing something in the community.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the hardest part about firing something up like a Pheasants Forever chapter. It's like, well, we got to get established before we can do any projects.
But. And that's an easy, I think that's a big thing is every, we wanted to hit the ground sprinting right away, you know, and I think you have to realize it's going to be a marathon, you know, and even if you do get into making those improvements out on the ground, like actually planting things and getting your hands dirty, you still may not see the fruits of that labor until maybe even years down the road.
It very well could be.
So just a reminder, while it is exciting to get these projects, kind of start talking about them and seeing what can be changed and improved, that is exciting, but just get our long game hats on here, I'm thinking. But it sounds like, so do you want to go over that a little bit? What kind of potentially could we could be looking at for projects here?
No, you got her.
All right. So Well, let's just kind of first think of what South Sandstone looks like right now. So you go out there, not a lot of trees around sandstone, kind of in the areas that aren't a road. There, it's very grassy, got a lot of brome grass, a term we talked a lot about today. And it turns out that brome grass that's out there is real thick, like got a lot of undergrowth in it, and it chokes out a lot of the other native plants that could potentially be found out there. And something about the particular brome that's found at South Sandstone is it's not very good nesting habitat, we found out. Justin did a very good job explaining to Henry and I today, I felt. I really liked how he brought it up. He said, imagine being like a baby chicken. He was talking to Henry's daughter at this point, a young kid, but I was glad he put it in this context for me because I followed right along. But he said, imagine just getting like a baby chicken and dropping it in that grass where we were standing and just think of how hard of a time it would have moving around in that. And then you kind of get that picture in your head and think about it while you're standing there. You're like, yeah, it's going to be pretty difficult for a small baby pheasant or small chicken in this case that we were talking about to move around in that grass. So you want to get kind of plants established that don't choke the undergrowth out so much and are a little bit more hospitable for a nesting pheasant and their brood once they've completed nesting. So that was kind of one big thing we were talking about. And then like the trees, they can act as like your snow stops and they give you a lot of different forage options out there. You're putting stuff like choke cherries and buffalo berries out, like maybe not huge trees, like we're not necessarily talking about big old cottonwoods, that which could be down the road, which would also help the old fishermen and people out there just recreating.
Yep, for sure.
So and that's kind of another thing that we went back to a lot is about how a lot of these improvements, I mean, we've talked about it a whole bunch, but a lot of these improvements are not just for birds. We keep going back to that, but a lot of these are going to help fishermen out there have some shade maybe down the road, help the deer population, things like that as well. So anyways, back to just strictly birds, kind of it seems like the lowest hanging fruit at the moment or like easiest thing to dive into for us might be some of that tree planting, like I just said, the choke cherries and buffalo berries. And Justin Hughes was really excited when we went down on the dam area of South Sandstone. That would be kind of the northeast part of the land there that lake sits on. There's like a little wedge right there just below the dam. It kind of is a big bowl there. And he was really excited looking at that, talking about the potential for putting some trees in there. So it sounds like that's kind of the most tangible project at the moment, requiring the least amount of groundworking is putting trees in. Because then otherwise, like if we break South Sandstone up into, let's break it up into three pieces at the moment. So we've got, that would be one piece I'm talking about, that big bowl on the northeast side. And then we're going to consider the south side, south of the like camping areas, like the more recreation area type spots, like the whole kind of cattaily south end of the lake, we'll consider that one area. And then the campgrounds themselves will consider an area. So it seems like it might be a challenge doing work right along the campgrounds, because then you really got to get in with the parks and recreation folks to about how you're going to maneuver around those campsites. So not only does that area below the dam kind of separate away from campsites, but lends you a little bit more working area without having to worry about running into things, if you will. So that's kind of the first area, would be that dam area, putting trees there. And then over by the west camping kind of recreation areas there, there's that big stretch of grass. Like, there's a sign there right now that talks about pheasant habitat being worked on there. That area would be more something like you disc and try to be introducing your native plants or pollinators, more broadleaf species, things the pheasants can nest in and eat, basically, a little more than they can now. So that would be the next kind of thing to move to after the trees down below the dam, and that kind of habitat would be putting in the pollinators and things over on that west side between the alfalfa field. Because right now, what we've kind of determined is that South Sandstone's really just kind of a colder weather holding ground for the pheasants. Once the cropland around has kind of lost that nice toasty warmth of thick vegetation in it, then they kind of move into the cattails around South Sandstone, and that's really kind of all that Sandstone's area offers for those birds at the moment. So really it all comes back to just nesting and forage options being increased there. So
that's just nice to finally be getting something going and talking to a guy, and it sounds like this guy had a lot of knowledge about what's going on. I wish I could have been there, but unfortunately some of us had to work.
Yeah, 10:30 mid-morning on a work day is kind of a rough deal to get to. I was fortunate to be able to sneak away.
For going anyway.
Ah, thanks. Yeah, it was nice to get out there. And yeah, again, that Justin Hughes working for Region 7 for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, their habitat specialist. He does a lot of work. Most of his expertise comes from his work with the Upland Game Bird Enhancement Program. So that's where he's getting in with farmers and ranchers, and if they have cropland that they're not using or is basically unusable but could be turned into what you hear CRP a lot, Conservation Reserve Program. That's just incentivizing folks to leave. If they have land that's not being worked for crops, then let's make it advantageous for the wildlife. So he does a lot of work with landowners about that, and then with groups like us, Pheasants Forever. He's really looking forward to working with us and seeing how he can help us. A big thing, I mean, he's just going to be a huge help in funding as well. So the Pheasants Forever, I mean, while we're definitely going to be trying to raise money, it's nice to not have to shoulder that whole burden yourself.
Oh, for sure. That's a project like that would cost a small fortune until you start figuring out all the trees and the plastic and everything else that goes with it. So somebody willing to help us pick up the tab, that's going to go a long ways.
Yep. And after that tree planting, when it comes to actually working the ground and getting those native plants back in there, like your pollinators or your forbs, whatever you're looking to put in there with that brome grass, because you're probably not going to, what we determined is you're probably not going to eliminate all that unwanted brome grass, probably just have to figure out what works best along with it and doesn't let it choke everything out, so it's just brome grass.
So something like alfalfa or something.
Exactly.
That effect.
Yep. And so talking about that, we're gonna have to find somebody with a tractor and a disc is kind of what it sounds like, because fire would be the number one option, but bureaucracy rears its ugly head at you, and there's a lot of people that don't like fire. As Justin put it, it's a four-letter word that kind of spooks a lot of people. So whereas it would be nice to get in there and kind of burn some of that grass up around Sandstone and then restart out of the ashes, if you will, looks like our option is going to be discing it. And he said that there's options of some folks around that are involved with the land at Sandstone that they could bring a disc, but they really prefer if you can be like, hey, we've got this guy that'll bring a tractor and a disc, you bring yours, and we'll work together. So once we get past the quote-unquote simple task of planting trees, once you start working the ground, it's going to be discing and planting, it sounds like. But it's kind of cool. He was talking about all kinds of different options. They can plant with drones. He says he does a lot of planting with drones now, which kind of blew my mind. But there's a lot of different options once you start looking at working the ground or no-till options even. You can kind of delve into that Justin Hughes was talking about as well. So a lot of options. The future's bright out at Sandstone. It's nice to have a like-minded group of folks working on it, and somebody like Justin Hughes in that professional department that has the avenues to pursue. So I'm excited to see what happens and how these projects develop going forward.
Yeah, me too. It should be interesting getting going.
Yeah, I've already learned a lot. I've learned a lot of buzzwords. I'm throwing out words like forbs and pollinators and, you know, CRP and stuff. So just headed right on down the track.
So is this your first experience with Pheasants Forever?
Yes and no. Well, yes. But I just say no. Why I hesitate is because I did work with a guy for a short time, Bob Hicks. He's real involved with Pheasants Forever. I think he's a kind of higher up at this point, like a regional director of some sort or something or other. But Bob Hicks, I worked with at a discount fishing tackle for a little while. So I guess that's where I consider my run-in with Pheasants Forever, because, I mean, he obviously talked about it, but that's when I was just getting into upland hunting. I was always a waterfowl hunter before then. So upland hunting for me has only been in the last, like, eight-ish years. So, yeah, long story short, I had not been a member or involved in the projects. I just talked to somebody who knew about it.
I got you. So this is the first time you got signed up to be a member.
Yeah, I didn't have anybody to finagle me in there, such as an Eric Updike.
So. Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
But it's nice to be involved. And like we talked about, it's all really forward-thinking things. So it really just makes you get in the mindset of improving things for the real future down the road. Like, we're talking stuff that maybe your kids will really see the benefits from, probably more so than you, to be honest, like, oh, than us, sure, in our day. Like, these trees don't grow overnight if they do take and grow. So it's stuff that, like we mentioned, it's just, you gotta really look down the road for it, but it's nice to have that kind of mindset of longevity in your environment.
Yeah, we're gonna leave the environment better than we found it.
Yeah, hopefully. Knock on wood, at all, everything keeps going, people remain interested, and it just goes back to that thing where we talked about it out there, where it's keeping people interested and making them feel like we're doing worthwhile things and having enough people showing up to these projects.
Absolutely. So, and the other thing that I really like about Pheasants Forever, yes, their main thing is conservation, obviously, but, you know, they do a lot of other things, you know, like the youth learn to hunt programs, and they have some youth trap shoots and all kinds of fun stuff like that, getting the youth involved. And I think that's something that we definitely need in this community.
And I really like the idea that Justin was talking about. The Sydney Pheasants Forever chapter used to do like a youth hunt training kind of course, if you will. And they said they took like 8 to 10 kids, and they'd teach them, like, maybe not necessarily your hunter safety so much. It's kind of beyond, like, you've done your hunter safety, and then you go to this, and they will walk you through fields. So they'd walk behind kids as they walk through fields after they've learned kind of not flagging each other with the guns walking through the fields. Then they'll walk and throw clays over their heads while they're walking to simulate birds jumping. And then it gives those kids the opportunity to decide, like, what's safe to shoot at, what's in their lane, what isn't. And I thought it was just a really good idea for a course of, and a good thing to look at in the future for the chapter.
Yeah, sure. I absolutely agree with that. It sounds to me like it's kind of a hands-on training. Exactly. After your hunter safety.
Yep.
You know, you learn about what you're supposed to do in hunter safety, then you actually go out and practice it. I think that's very good.
Yeah, so I think that's definitely something to look at. And I think the future's bright for the old Great Plains Pheasants Forever chapter.
Yeah,
here,
I do too.
For Fallon County, Carter County, and Weibo County. So if you have any interest at all, come check it out. Again, September 13th at noon is that membership drive trap shoot here at the old Fallon County Shooting Range outside of Baker. That's just to the west of town there. And hey, if you're intimidated to shoot trap, don't it's a laid back thing. Nobody's gonna be barking at you about your trap shooting skills, or nobody's expecting you to show up and break all kinds of clays. Just come out, talk to some like-minded folks, and figure out how you can help.
And it's all just for fun. We're not going to be keeping score or anything. So,
yep. So, anyway. Have some good food, go shoot some trap, and talk about the upland season coming up.
That's
here. This
right.
Will be our last episode before the bird season. Once our next episode rolls around, we'll be in the midst of hunting season. Right now, all we've got is some archery stuff going on, which I'm not taking part in. So I'm still waiting on the birds here.
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
I did get my free, just a reminder about the free sage grouse permit. If you're hunting grouse in our area here in eastern Montana, probably a wise thing to get. If you're willing to pull the trigger on a grouse in our area, and especially if you can... You know the difference between a sage grouse and a sharp-tailed grouse. You better be getting your free permit off of the old Fish, Wildlife, and Parks website. Just make sure you got it. It's FREE. Don't even got to put in your card information to get that. Put on your license.
I like it.
Yep. So, and some good news in regards to hunting. Both antelope tag holders.
That's right.
My first one ever.
But I do want to correct you, because you always get after me for calling them an antelope. And I can just say.
Well, I've just been reading that word and everything, because nobody else says pronghorn. So I just like the buffalo thing. You just got to move on with life, I guess.
Oh,
it's fun
okay.
It's kind of fun to get razzed up about it once in a while. But, you know, if I stay on that train, I'm just going to wear myself down.
Yeah, that's right. You're starting to turn into a real Montanan now.
But so yeah, we both have pronghorn tags. I almost messed up though, because I was dinking around looking at that sage grouse permit to put it on there, and there was a, when you're an antelope license holder, it unlocks the ability to buy other tags if they have them available. Yeah. And right now, as an antelope license holder, you have a region 3 tag, like it's like a surplus tag, I guess is what they call it. I might be miss saying that, but there's a region 3 antelope / pronghorn tag available to tag on there for $14. I almost did that until I thought better. I was like, oh no, that's not the region 7 one, which you may get the option to buy. That's a wrong region there.
Yeah. Did you want me to hold your gun when you go so you don't get tempted to shoot Bambi again?
Well, I don't know. We know so many of us in our friends group that have pronghorn tags now that I think we'll probably be just out there on our own anyhow. I'll be racing to just put one on the ground.
I know it's going to be one of those deals when we get called from your buddy to go hunting. No, I don't feel good today. And hurry up and leave before they do kind of deals.
Get out there, yeah. But it's a big region. It's a massive hunt region, this whole southeast corner of the state. So there's a lot of room to spread out out
there.
That's
right.
You get us a speed goat. I don't really know what my plan is yet, but we'll get her figured out before October rolls around.
Yep, for sure.
And and then the old deer again this year. So I'm excited. Should be a good hunt year. I think the birds will be great. We had all that rain and everything's so thick in the vegetation this year. I think it's gonna be another darn good bird year. So we'll just have to see how that out of state traffic is, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt.
But yeah, I think that's all I've got for today. Just talking about those projects, hopefully getting the ball rolling on South Sandstone. Hopefully you see some folks out there in the not too distant future, maybe starting to do some work, plant some trees down there, things like that. And yeah, that's pretty much all I had. You got anything else for today?
Nope, that'll do.
All right. Well, this has been episode 35 of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. We're sponsored by Dakota Rifle Company. You can find them in Dickinson. Go get yourself a suppressor. Maybe check out what firearms they've got on the shelf these days. And Dakota Rifle Company online at dakotarifle.co. And next time we talk to you, hopefully we're talking about maybe downing some birds.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right. Well, catch you next time.